keep yourself in the loop of everything football. Listen to Alex and Jeremiah on the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast.
Hello there, I'm Jeremiah.
I am Alex, always and forever here.
Dedicated to college and NFL football. The latest football news on and off the field. NFL draft trade rumors. We've got you covered from the NFL, Big Ten, SEC, Big 12, Pac-12, ACC, and everything else in between. Listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast.
Thank you for tuning in to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast, where we discuss the latest news, rumors, and games of the NFL and college football. From the latest science issues, breakout stars, and all the news in between, as always, I'm Jeremiah.
My name is Ben.
And I'm Anthony.
And Alex is not here, but we'll still mention his name. So we're rolling with three amigos on a Friday, like we always do on the football show. So we're talking some Louisville, Houston college football, talking some Thursday night football between the Saints and the Panthers, as well as the upcoming games in the NFL and college football. But guys, I think we really got to start with that college football game last night.
Yeah, Louisville and Houston. Okay, when I thought I was going to come in today, I thought we were going to begin the Saints and Panthers. No, this upset was so huge. We got to talk about it first.
Well, I mean, technically, it is an upset. Houston unranked, Louisville number 5. Houston absolutely dominated the game, literally from start to finish, 36-10. They were up 31-0 at the half. Just a nightmare game for Louisville right from the get-go. They fumble the opening kickoff. Houston scores on the very next play. Houston score on a deflected pass that just, look, Mom, I found the ball, and score a touchdown. They had all the trick plays going for them, a fake punt. They had a wide receiver throw a touchdown pass of 50 yards. It was literally Houston's night over Louisville. A nightmare game for the Cardinals. Lamar Jackson gets sacked 11 times. I don't care who you have back there. If you get sacked 11 times, if you're constantly under pressure like that, you have zero chance to move the ball on offense, and that means your defense is on the field yet again on short rest, giving up more points to Greg Ward Jr. and the rest of this Cougar offense. A nightmare game for Louisville.
Yeah, I think we kind of underestimated Houston's defense a little bit before this game. Like, I knew they were good coming in, but I didn't know they were going to perform that well. I didn't think they were going to play well enough to contain Lamar Jackson, because I really thought he was going to have this really big game. And when I saw the score 31-0, and like when I saw that score, when someone would have told me Louisville and Houston is 31-0, I mean, like, great, you know, Lamar Jackson's probably balling out right now. Nope, it was the complete opposite.
Absolutely. I mean, like I said, 11 times he's sacked, and for a guy who's so shifty and has the mobility that he has to be sacked that often, that kind of says a lot. Like, he's always the guy who, oh, pressure's coming, let me get away and run for 8 yards, you know, and that did not happen last night at all. 211 yards passing, one touchdown. He did have 33 yards rushing, but all those sacks obviously take away from those yards, so he would have had a lot more had he not been sacked so often. But for Louisville, Anthony, number 5, one loss, and then they get absolutely destroyed on national TV against Houston, who were unranked, but at one time were 6 in the nation until they lost to Navy, lost a couple of games. They're still a really solid team. Now Louisville's done.
Yeah, now Louisville's done. They're not making it into the playoffs. They're basically going to drop to, I don't know, 9th, 10th, something like that. Basically out of any sort of contention, even though the other teams that are kind of hanging around there, that are Michigan, Ohio State, and all those teams, the Oklahomas and the Penn States and all of them, Wisconsin's, they've got 2 losses, but they're in a power conference. Their teams have been playing other very good competition. Wisconsin, 2 losses, or to Michigan and Ohio State. Louisville's basically done. They have basically, they're going to get a good bowl game, which is nice. Lamar Jackson's still probably going to win the Heisman Trophy because he's just been a freak of nature the whole year. But you said 11 sacks. And it's one thing, like, you could say, like, oh, well, maybe 2 or 3 of those, like, you know, he didn't do enough to evade the pass rush. Okay, fine. Let's say 3 of them were his fault. 8. that's still eight, where it's just basically, you know, offensive line was just like, you know, ole, and just everybody goes straight to the quarterback.
Pretty much. I mean, there were a couple of plays where Houston literally had just free rushers coming right at Jackson right away. It was just a great game plan by Tom Herman.
I know he didn't
like hold anything back. Like I said, the fakes, the trick plays, he really had everything ready and prepared.
Yeah, and that defensive line just came before Houston, just came through, bust out through that Louisville offense. Like Louisville was throwing the screen pass, that's how free those defenders came in. I do agree. Louisville is done. I think this is a really good chance for Washington to climb back up to the playoffs. I know Anthony and I were talking about that briefly before we went on the air here.
I think, definitely. I think it helps a couple of teams. Number one is Washington, because Washington coming in at six, the committee obviously feels like they were the worst of the one-loss teams. They ranked them the lowest of the one-loss teams within, you know, the top 25 that are up there. You know, there's obviously one-loss teams that are lower, like West Virginia, but they're not nearly in that battle for the top four. So you know what I mean. So it seems like they definitely viewed Washington as the worst of those one-loss teams. So now you have Louisville with two losses, so you bump up Washington. I feel like it also helps some of these teams lower in the top 10, like maybe Oklahoma. Oklahoma, a big game this Saturday against West Virginia. We'll have to know more about them. But to me, they're kind of that one team, maybe like the snake in the grass a little bit. If a couple of teams falter, if they keep winning, they'll be undefeated in conference play. The lack of a conference title game will hurt them, but a couple of teams keep dropping, they'll be that one team that maybe with a lot of help can maybe squeak into that top four. Maybe they'd finish five or six, so really, really close. But definitely the big winner is Washington. That's one less team they really have to worry about if they handle business. I know, Jeremiah, you said before the show as well, you feel like this is maybe a hurt towards Jackson's Heisman case as well.
It could. You know, I still think he is the leading candidate, but the fact that, okay, I think we can agree that this is probably his worst, the second to worst game
that
he
played.
Yeah,
that was the worst game he's had, yeah.
Yeah, he's had this year. I think he hasn't played really well for the past two games as well. Even against Georgia Tech last week, he didn't have a lot of, like, passing yards. You know, he didn't look good in the passing game. So I think this inconsistency, like, so far in the last two games, I think it's going to kind of hurt him. But, you know, then again, he's been so electrifying. I think it will kind of help him as well. But, you know, you have Jake Browning there who's been playing lights out as well. So I think it kind of depends on the other guys, how they play this weekend and then next weekend as well. Because, you know, we're coming up to that time right now for the Heisman presentation.
Honestly, I hate the Heisman. I think there's not a more
over.
Who hates
the Heisman?
I do.
Why?
And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. A couple of reasons.
You still would hate the Heisman.
let me explain here, okay?
All right.
I think this is the most overrated award in all of sports. I think a couple of things. Number one, if you're not a quarterback or a running back, you literally stand no chance. The last player to win the Heisman, not a quarterback or a running back, was Charles Woodson. And then before that, Desmond Howard was the second one. So if you're not a quarterback or a running back, you stand literally no chance. So that's number one. Number two, how many Heisman Trophy winners are literally just good college players and are never even in the NFL? Jason White from Oklahoma did not get drafted. Eric Crouch from Nebraska did not get drafted. We've seen Matt Leinart win the Heisman. He did not pan out. I think the Heisman Trophy winner, it's the person who puts up the best stats on a team that finishes really good. I think there's not a more overrated award. This year, I know you have your hand raised. Let me finish. This year, I think you can basically engrave Lamar Jackson's name on the Heisman right now. Yeah, he had a bad game on a national televised game. His team played absolutely terrible. But who else is having a year to even challenge what he's doing? You said Browning. He's a little up and down. His stats are pretty good, but I don't see them anywhere near Jackson. Besides that, Jabril Peppers, he's a defensive player. You can literally cross his name off that list right there. You can put Jackson's name on the Heisman right now.
I actually think Peppers has a real legit shot. Like, it's pretty slim, but I think he's been playing well enough. You know, he can do it all on defense, okay?
Yeah, but defensive players don't win this
award. They don't, but
all right,
I
Anthony,
think
he, I know okay, you've been adamant about saying something, so go ahead.
All right, here's the thing. Yes, everything you said is right. Yeah, it's mostly running back, quarterback. Also, same thing with NFL MVP. Basically, if you're not one of those two things, you're not going to get the MVP. I don't think a wide receiver has ever gotten it, and outside of Lawrence Taylor and Matt Mosley for the Redskins back.
But if you're an MVP in the NFL, you're a good player. You're in the NFL.
It's fine. Fine. Also, Heisman has nothing to do with the NFL. Like, nothing. Like, we can talk all day about how it's a minor league system, and that's fine. But that has nothing to do with the NFL. They were really good with what they were doing right there. Chris Bryant won the best, minor league player 2 years ago. He could have stunk when he got to the majors. And speaking of baseball, it doesn't matter how good. You talked about how it's the best player on the best team, and that's fine, or just has the best season sometimes. With baseball, Mike Trout won the MVP. He's fantastic. His team stinks. It's just him just going all by himself.
But how often does that happen? Tell me a Heisman Trophy.
A-Rod did it.
Or give me a Heisman Trophy winner that's been on a terrible, like a team that's not even in the top 25.
I'm trying to think of all the people that have won the Heisman. Well, maybe not like bad teams or whatever. But I think did the year Tebow won it, did they win the championship when Tebow was going nuts?
No.
I remember when Robert Griffin III won it, they went to the Alamo Bowl.
Bam. Look at that.
Yeah.
But that's still they're still a top team. They're not obviously one of the top two or three.
They weren't like a top 10 team. They're like in the top 15, top 20. That was a very electrifying team as well, even though they didn't play in the top bowl game.
That's
the only player I can think of that wasn't really on the best team, but was on like a pretty good team.
I just hate this award. I feel like there's not a more overrated.
You don't say.
You would hate this award.
I do. I mean, well, you won the Heisman. Like, fantastic. Well,
yeah,
where's that game?
Okay, I don't hate the Heisman. I think it's prestigious. It's because it says that you are the best player in college football.
But does it really? Was Derrick Henry the best player in college football last year?
Who was better? Maybe McCaffrey.
I still think McCaffrey.
McCaffrey
was the best player. I think we all agree on that. That's not up to us, though, to say.
Of course it's not, but I mean, I
Derrick Henry had a really good year, too, so we can't really, like, to be fair, we can't really fault him for that.
He did. Of course he did. He obviously won
but
the Heisman
no,
in a great
you can't,
season,
you,
but I mean, I just, is, I'm just not a fan of this award.
I don't know what to say. I'm baffled.
I'm sorry, guys, but obviously Jackson's going to win this award regardless of what happened last. Unless he gets injured and tears his knee up and doesn't play anymore.
Even with that, he's still basically on pace for like 50 total touchdowns and 5,000 total yards.
But still, you'd have him missing some games. I think that would probably take something into consideration. Then you have maybe Peppers or Browning go in there. But I think this is kind of a weak year for the Heisman in general. I feel like you have three candidates for sure, and then everyone else is kind of like falling off. You had Watson beginning of the year. He hasn't really stood out. You had Fournette. He's missed some time. McCaffrey's team is not as good. He hasn't been getting publicity. There we go.
But you talk
and he
about,
missed some games. So.
Yeah, because you talk about McCaffrey and how great he was last year with 2,000 yards. He's nowhere close that year with 1,100 yards. You know,
he's missed some time. He missed a few games. And Stanford's not having the year they were last year. So they're not getting – his highlights are being shown every night like they were last year. So – I don't know, but I kind of want to get off the subject.
Well, no, here's the thing.
Jackson's going to win this award.
Well, here's the thing. It's like, I don't disagree with you, like, that it's kind of a popularity – that is a popularity contest, and you basically have to be a top 10 school and a quarterback or running back to win it. But that's also the same thing with the NFL. Like, that happens to the NFL. Like, Cam Newton, 15-1, MVP. Peyton Manning, always really good teams, MVP. Adrian Peterson, basically, like, put that team on his back to make the playoffs. Just that happens in other sports and other leagues, too.
I don't know. I just hate this award.
It's basically the MVP of college football.
But is it, though?
Well, yeah. In a way, yeah. It is.
Maybe. I guess it's the person who has the best stats.
Well, in a way it is, but you know, you also have to be on a team that's relevant too as well.
Exactly. In other sports, you have a little differential. Like you had Mike Trout.
I think baseball is kind of like the one exception that you can win the MVP without being on a really good team. NBA, you have to be on a good team to win that award, in my opinion. In the NFL, your team has to make the playoffs.
Pretty much. All right. So, I mean, let's just move on. So, real quick. Real quick, I don't want to talk about it.
Well,
I feel like we touched on it already.
Yeah, we did.
So real quick, we'll just talk about this Thursday night game. I feel like we had yet another boring game. We have the Panthers defeat the Saints 23-20. The Panthers jump out to a huge lead at 23-3, and then the Saints claw back with 20 unanswered, 17 of those in the fourth quarter to hold on and beat. Or I'm sorry, to lose. Carolina holds on to beat the Saints. Not really a great night on offense for both sides. Jonathan Stewart averaged 1.7 yards a carry, 31 yards and a touchdown. Cam Newton only throws for 192. Just one of those kind of boring games that got a little interesting at the end. Both teams now at 4-6. I don't give much of a chance to either of them, but I guess I give a little more to Carolina. Atlanta's not really running away with the division at 6-4. But the big storyline, guys, was Luke Kuechly having to leave the game late in the fourth quarter, what looks like to be a concussion. On the play, it was Tim Hightower running, and he kind of lowered his head to maybe try and pick up a few yards. It seemed like he maybe brushed up on Keekly's face mask a little bit, but it looks like he hit him more in the chest as opposed to anything. Kuechly on the ground has to get carted off the field. He was crying. He missed some time last year with a concussion, about three games, so you got to think that his reaction to this, he's one of the most physical guys in the league. No one's questioning his work ethic, his playing, you know, ability. For him to be crying like that, he's got to think this is pretty bad.
Yeah, it has to be pretty bad. It made me want to cry. I'm kidding.
Well, I mean, a player like that, you have to respect his game, and for him to be doing that, it's like, wow, this has got to be like pretty bad, man.
That's going to be huge for this Carolina Panthers defense as well. You know, when especially a front seven that's been playing pretty consistently. With the secondary that has been getting torched the whole entire year. So that's going to be huge. He's based, to me, Luke Kuechly was like the leader of this defense.
Absolutely.
So without him, without his presence in that front seven is going to be huge. It's just going to hurt this defense here. But you know, getting back to this game here, you know, these teams are 4-6. I would say maybe Carolina has a better chance to make the playoffs than the Saints because they've been there before. But I don't know if any of these teams are going to make it, even though the division's really weak. And I know the Falcons are, I think they're 6-4 right now. I don't know if they're going to completely run away with that division. So it's getting kind of interesting now in this division. You know, both of these teams are two games back. But I still think this is the Lions' division to win this year. You know, that offense has been really dynamic, despite their defensive struggles there.
Yeah, I don't – like you talked about the division. I don't trust Atlanta. I just assume Atlanta's going to do Atlanta things.
I did at the beginning of the year.
That's your mistake. don't do that.
I did at the beginning of the year, but then again, you know, they've been doing what they've been doing the past couple years. It's been like going on this like losing streak, being very inconsistent.
They started off 6-0 last year.
They did.
Like after that, I can't trust them.
We fell for it again. Well, at least I did.
Well, okay.
I fell for it again. So I don't know if I'm going to trust the Lions win this division, but I do think they're the best team in this division.
Because
this whole division is inconsistent.
Let me play some devil's advocate here.
Sure.
I agree with Jeremiah. I think Atlanta's probably the best team in this division, kind of by default. I feel like we have a couple other divisions like that. The NFC North, maybe the AFC South.
Right.
But I feel like Atlanta is definitely the best team by default. Their offense is legit. The problem is just their defense.
Yes.
I wouldn't say that we kind of like fell into the trap of believing in them. We believe in their offense, and I think we have all year, but all year we haven't really believed in their defense. And I think that came back to haunt them last week. Philly runs for over 200 yards against them, and they get killed. Their offense doesn't even have the ball at all because they can't stop anyone from running on them. So I wouldn't say we kind of fell for the trap. I think.
Oh, well, I did.
I think a la Denny Green, like we are who we thought they were. They're a good offense, but just can't stop anyone. So, I mean, that's going to be their downfall come playoff time because I think they will get in. I think they're the best team in the division still. Don't trust Carolina. New Orleans, kind of the same mold as Atlanta, just not really as good. Good offense, terrible defense. So, I mean, not much to take away from this game, but both teams sit at 4-6. Technically still alive, like you said, Jeremiah, a couple games back, but I think we're in agreement here that we don't really trust either of the teams. All right, guys, so we'll take our first break here at the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast. After the break, we'll talk about the rest of the NFL schedule for Week 11. We have a Monday night game in Mexico City, which is obviously a good historic event, so we'll touch on that a little bit. Obviously, we'll preview it more on Monday. So we'll take our first break right here at the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be, visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back into the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast. Going to be talking Week 11 in the NFL landscape. I feel like it's kind of a down week, guys, in the NFL. No real big, important standout games. There's obviously some key matchups to look at, which we will preview. But I feel like we're kind of in a little down week. After last week, we had probably the best week of the entire season.
Yeah, we did. By
yeah,
far.
Now it's kind of like, oh, you guys did so good last week. Now we're just going to kind of like take it easy this week a little bit.
They're going to take a step back.
All right, so we'll preview some of these games. The first one I want to preview is the Sunday night matchup. It is the Green Bay Packers going into D.C. to take on the Washington Redskins. The Redskins playing really well as of late, have not lost in a few weeks now if you include that draw. 5-3-1, Green Bay at 4-5, playing absolutely terrible. They got absolutely torched by Tennessee last week, who DeMarco Murray's a good running back, but they're not an offensive juggernaut by any standards. So Green Bay on the road, I just can't trust this team. And for me, being a Packer fan, that's hard to say. It breaks my heart. But I just can't trust this team. The defense can't stop anyone. Aaron Rodgers has to kind of put everything on himself because the running game is absolutely not there. They did have James Starks come back last week, so we'll have another week to get ready. They claimed Christian Michael from Seattle, but only been there a couple of days. You can't expect him to know the playbook that much to play a whole lot. So I'll take Washington because I just trust them more. I like their offense. Kirk Cousins should have a good game against this bad Packer defense, bad Packer secondary, which is really banged up. So I'll take the Redskins. Just can't go with Green Bay right now. I just can't do it.
I'm going to have to go with Green Bay. This team has to do something to get back on track. I can't see them fall to 4-6. I think the Redskins are a pretty good team. They have a good offense. Kirk Cousins having a pretty good year as well. But, man, there's something about the Packers that needs to get done. It needs to start this week. And you said, they claim Christian Michael. I do think it's going to get a little bit of time because, running back in the NFL, it's a little easier transition to learn despite other positions. I'm going to have to go with the Packers on this. I do think it has the potential to be like a really good shootout, a high-scoring game. And when I look at these two teams, which quarterback would I rather have? Kirk Cousins, Aaron Rodgers. I'd rather take Aaron Rodgers every day than Kirk Cousins. It's nothing against Kirk Cousins. It's just Aaron Rodgers just puts it on his back more.
Yeah, that's the thing, though. You would take Aaron Rodgers, but name me another player on the Packers that you would take. At least with
no one.
That's the thing. Like, it's just him. They've even had.
I'll take their offensive line.
What, the Packers?
I think the Packers' offensive line over Washington's.
Yeah, but
like their receiving core better. Their defense I don't like, which I think is going to be
about,
a difference.
What about Jordy Nelson?
That's what I'm saying. I'll take the Packers' receiving core over Washington's, but
even
the defenses.
Like, Jordy Nelson's been okay, but now you have the situation where all the running backs they've had aren't running backs. Outside of Eddie Lacy, it's been wide receivers trying to.
Yeah, Ty Montgomery, James Starks is coming back, even though he's been a running back his entire career. Christian Michael, who just got there.
He just got there, though. That's the thing. Like, he may not be that acclimated with the
offense. I love the Packers' receivers there. Devontae Adams has emerged as a real legit threat in that offense. Randall Cobb, he kind of fell off a little bit, but he still has a role. Jordy Nelson, he's been up and down, but, he is coming off an ACL injury. I kind of like the Packers in this game. They have to get back on track. If they don't win this game, I just don't know what they're going to do.
That division does stink, though.
It does.
You got the Lions atop of it, and we talked about it over in the sports podcast. We don't trust any of those teams, the Vikings, Lions, anybody.
And that's why I think the Packers are I have them winning. I do think they're going to go 500 and try to contend for a title. They still have a legit shot at this. I don't trust the Lions, the Vikings now, and, well, the Bears, they're like two only.
I don't think we even will mention them.
No, well, they only have two games. But, you know, I kind of want to give them a little shout-out there. But, yeah, I got the Packers winning this game.
I think if there's one thing for Green Bay really quickly, it's they're probably going to get Clay Matthews back. He's missed the last three games with a hamstring injury. And you guys mentioned it, and I was going to touch on it. The division is so bad. The Packers at 4-5, they're still only a game out of that first-place spot with Minnesota and Detroit tied at 5-4 right now. So it's not like they're absolutely need to press the panic button. They're still technically in it. I think they need to just kind of take a step back and relax a little bit. Aaron Rodgers, in my eyes, is feeling the pressure because there's no defense, there's no running game. You mentioned it. It's all on him.
Yeah.
And he's trying to, I think, do a little too much. He's trying to always get a big play, always get a first down, instead of taking that 5-6 yard completion if he can. Maybe scrambling and picking up a couple of yards running instead of trying to force in and get an interception or an incompletion. I think he kind of needs to take a step back a little bit and realize we're still in a – I realize we're not having a great year, a down year for our standards, but we're still in an okay spot. All you have to do is get in, and then anything can happen. So I think that's what they need to do. If it happens, we'll have to wait and see. It's not a good opponent to try and do that against. I feel like they kind of did that earlier against the Bears, and everything was like, oh, everything's fantastic again. But I feel like it was more against the Bears. So this is going to be a tougher opponent on the road against Washington.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think, you know, we talked about everything with Aaron Rodgers and Kirk Cousins, everything else like that. With this game, you know, I would trust Kirk Cousins, like I said, just with the people around him. Like you said, Jordy Nelson's good. He just hasn't been the guy. But everything said, like, you think the Packers basically need to bounce back, but they, you know, just because they need to bounce back doesn't mean they will. Like, you know, there's been teams – you know, we thought that New Orleans could do this thing where this can bounce back because now they were going to be a better team. And they got beat down, at least, you know, in the first half by the Carolina Panthers. So just because you need to bounce back doesn't mean you actually will. So I'm just going to go with the Washington team as well.
I want to say Green Bay because it's my team and everything you're saying makes sense. And they're feeling the pressure. But until I see it consistently, I just can't bet against Washington this game because Green Bay's just not there. All right, another game is the Battle of the Birds. The Philadelphia Eagles at 5-4 go on the road to take on the Seahawks at 6-2-1. The Seahawks, a big win last week on the road against New England, a game none of us thought they really had a chance in, but they surprised all of us. Russell Wilson seems like he's getting healthier and healthier every week. They had Cam Chancellor return last week, and he made a huge impact. Philly's not the same team on the road that they are at home, unbeaten at home, and they're 1-4 on the road. I like Seattle really big. I like them to win convincingly. I think Carson Wentz will struggle. The running game was so good against Atlanta last week. I don't see that happening against Seattle. I'll take the Seahawks big.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Seahawks as well.
Yeah.
It's tough. When you're a rookie quarterback, it's tough to play in that environment. Actually, if you're just a quarterback, if we were playing, it would be tough for us.
We would die.
It would be hard for me. I would die.
Have you seen the people on that defense?
Yeah.
Earl Thomas almost killed Gronkowski. You know how hard it is to kill Gronkowski? Oh, he's a polar bear. He's giant. He almost killed him. But you talk about Carson Wentz, how he started off the year well. The only win he has on the road is at Chicago against the Bears, and they stink. And, you know, you kind of look at those first three wins he had. One was against Cleveland. Say it. Jeremiah.
Nebraska Browning.
There it is. Chicago, they stink. Pittsburgh Steelers, they're not as good as we thought they would be. They've kind of been hit and miss the whole year. And then you beat Minnesota, they stink now. So Atlanta's your only really, like, competent win. And you said he's a rookie quarterback going into Seattle. Forget about just like, oh, it's Seattle. In Seattle. Going into Seattle, playing that defense to just beat Tom Brady and the Patriots. So now you get a rookie quarterback. It's not going to go well for him, I don't think. I would go with Seattle as well.
All right, guys. Another game is another game here in the NFC. The Arizona Cardinals at 4-4-1 go in to U.S. Bank Stadium to take on the struggling Minnesota Vikings. They were 5-0, if you guys remember. Now they're sitting at 5-4, loser of 4 in a row. This is an important game for both teams as they try to push towards the playoffs. Both of them, well, maybe Minnesota not so much, but Washington I'm sorry, not Washington. Arizona definitely looking towards a wild card berth. Seattle looks like the favorite in that division, a two-game lead over Arizona. Minnesota still trying to battle to win that NFC North crown. Personally, guys, I don't trust either of these teams. I think they've both had down years, years where they should have been a lot better. I think I'll take Arizona on the road because I trust them a little more. This Minnesota offensive line and offense is might be one of the worst in the league. The offensive line definitely, but the offense just can't move the ball. They can't run the ball. Sam Bradford's not protected. I think Arizona is going to rush him like crazy, and I think they're going to win the game. I don't really have faith in either of these teams, but I'll take Arizona because I trust them more. Same thing with Washington over Green Bay.
Yeah, I wanted to go with the Vikings here. I want to, but I can't. I can't. I can't pick them in any more games anymore. They don't play offense at all. Their defense is on the field for like 40 minutes a game, and that's tough. That's tough to do. So, you know, the Cardinals look like they're kind of bouncing back, even though they kind of went toe-to-toe to the very last minute against the Niners last week. It's kind of like the second worst game I've seen from the Cardinals this year. But I do have the Cardinals winning this game. They just have better talent on offense. You know, they can throw it down the field. They got David Johnson. They just have a better offense. You know, these defenses could be evenly matched, but I don't know how. I gotta go with the off. I gotta go with the better offensive team here.
So here's the thing. We talked about this on the sports podcast, and how this is basically one of the things where we don't like either team, right? It's not like, oh, I love the Minnesota Vikings or, oh, I love the Arizona Cardinals. No, they're both teams that have been okay at best, right? And you look at something like the Arizona Cardinals, right? They have four wins, and that's nice. However, three of those four wins, two are against the Niners, one is against the Jets. So you have a good win against the Buccaneers. Sure, that's like a nice enough win. You tied Seahawks, which, to be fair, looks like a good enough thing now. But that game, whew, that game. God, that you remember that game? That
yeah,
game
I do. I don't want to. I don't want
six to six.
Want to remember that game.
That game went from like terrible to great because I was rooting for missed field goals the rest of the game. Like towards the end of the fourth quarter, I'm like, no, every time missed field goal, and it kept happening. What, like three times? I was all about it. But you lost to the Panthers. You lost to the Rams. You know, Captain 8-8 over there, Jeff Fisher. You lost to them.
Or 7-9.
Or 7-9, honestly.
Or, in my eyes, going to be fired at the end of the year because
his only chance is if Goff plays well. That's it. If Goff turns out to be good, that's the only way.
I kind of do see Goff playing well.
I was going to ask you guys before the end of the segment because they're playing Dolphins, like real quick, Goff predictions. But I feel like we're kind of transitioning into that now. So, Goff predictions. Go ahead. Like, for this game, for the rest of the season, what do we think?
Oh, yeah, for this game, like, you want me to predict his stats, or?
Just give a wild estimate.
Okay, that's all right.
I know you're going to say, like, 400 yards,
five
touchdowns.
No, I'm not going to. I would say maybe 225, one touchdown. I say he takes care of the ball, no picks, no fumble. I kind of think Todd Gurley is going to be probably involved more heavily, so I think he's going to have at least one touchdown, maybe two. But he's going to get the ball a lot, so that's why I didn't say Goff is going to throw it all over the field. I think Goff's probably going to throw it at least maybe 25 times, 20 times. You know, he is a young rookie quarterback in his first start, so that's kind of tough for everyone. And, you know, the Rams are kind of in a couple of games back from the wild card, so I don't know. Who knows? I'm not saying they're making the playoffs, but who knows? I don't think they're making the playoffs either. But, you know, the Rams have a pretty good defense. They have a great – I think Talgary is still a great running back in this league despite his inconsistency. They're playing a really good Dolphins team right now who is on a four-game winning streak. I'm going to go on a limb here.
You're going to say the Rams are going to win, aren't you?
I think they're going to win. I think Jared Goff's going to be the first number one overall pick since David Carr to win his first start. That's been a while. I'm going to go on a limb here, okay? I'm going to be bold. Got to do it. Last show of the week. Got to be bold.
Last show of you for a couple of weeks.
Exactly. Got to be bold, guy.
That's pretty bold, if I might say so.
I think the Rams are going to go 500. You know, it is in L.A., so the crowd's going to be a little excited. I think it's going to be quite an atmosphere there. I'm going to go on a limb and say the Rams win. But it's going to be – if the Rams win, it's going to be very close.
If they win, it'll be a close game. For Goff, you know, the defense in Miami has been playing better. Cameron Wake's leading the team with 7 sacks, and you have Ndamukong Suh looking like Ndamukong Suh. I'd probably say somewhere around, like 225, 250, something around there as far as passing yards go. Probably throws an interception and, you know, interception or fumble. Like, one of those things. He'll have a turnover in some way, shape, or form. I'm going to say the Dolphins still win, but not convincingly. I do think it probably will be a close game. And you get with the Dolphins now, it looks like maybe 2 of their offensive linemen are out in Brandon Albert and possibly Mike Pouncey. So that'll at least make the game a little bit closer and probably won't have Ajayi going for 200 yards. The defense for L.A. is pretty good. And, like, you know, if you can rely on Todd Gurley a little bit just to kind of take the pressure off of him, I can see him doing well. I still think L.A. loses because I think L.A. is just kind of, they're just kind of in free fall right now, but they're 4-5, and, you know, I think they'll kind of do the thing where they become 7-9, 8-8 kind of thing. And you look at the teams they have coming up. You got the 49ers, you know, the Saints, the Patriots. They had a really hard schedule coming up. But I think, you know, for the first game, I think he does lose, but I think he plays an okay, solid enough game.
You guys are giving Goff a lot more yards than I was going to give him.
Who are you going to give
him? Man, you hating on him?
I'm not hating on him. I'm hating on this team.
That's fair.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
I think if he throws for over 200 yards, I'd be shocked.
Really?
Okay. I see him maybe in that 180 range. I think you guys are giving him like 250. Who's he going to throw him to? Kenny Britt? Like,
yeah.
That's it.
I'm not really sold on him. 693 yards and 3 scores.
I think a big game
last week against Darrell Revis.
I think Tavon Austin's going to get involved a lot more in this game. You know, he has to. But this is basically going to be a game plan basically involving heavily on Todd Gurley.
And that really hasn't worked out this year. Because I don't think it's anything to do with Gurley. I think it's the offensive line.
Not only that, but you got Case Keenum at quarterback. I kind of think Jared Goff kind of adds something to this offense that they haven't had in a while. But we'll see. Remains to be seen.
You think so?
I think so.
I'd say the other way around.
If it's not this year, it's definitely in the future. But we have to see what Goff has to do. We've seen with Keenum. Keenum's been really bad. I'm excited. I'm actually excited to see a Rams game. I've never said that in my entire life.
If Goff couldn't beat out Case Keenum until week 11, what makes me think I'm so sold on him?
Okay. Alex and I talked about this heavily throughout the year. You know, Jared Goff just basically wasn't ready. You know, the coaching staff didn't think Goff was ready. Remember, he's a rookie.
And 5 other rookies have started ahead of him already.
To be fair, that is true. But come on. Maybe he just wasn't ready. You know, he had to adjust to the pro game. You know, that's tough to do for any rookie. And don't get me wrong. Not every rookie is going to be like Dak Prescott or Ezekiel Elliott. You can't do that.
No. Here's my takeaway real quick. I still don't think Goff is ready. I don't think
Maybe he's not, but, you know, they have to do something on this team. They have to put some excitement to the fans in L.A. Because, remember, they are in L.A.
I understand, and I don't think Goff is ready, but I think 2 things. I think, number one, you invested a ton in him because you traded so many picks to get him. That's number one. Number two, I think this is a front office and a Stan Kroenke decision. I don't think Fisher really wanted Goff to begin with, and I don't think he wants to play him and try and have that David Carr effect where he gets totally beat up and you wasted really a first-round pick without really knowing what to expect. So I think he maybe wanted to wait until the whole year. If he couldn't beat out Keenum until week 11, I'm not really sold on him. I think they're going to try and keep it simple and conservative. That's why I don't expect many yards. I'd say he throws like 5-6-yard passes all game. Try and run the ball with Gurley, but their offensive line is so bad. He hasn't really had any room to run all year. They're going to rely on the defense. Miami, a close game. Going to try and run the ball as well with the Jaya. I expect a close game because I don't think either of these teams are offensive juggernauts. I'll say maybe 20-14 Miami, something along those lines. I don't think Goff does too well. I'd say 180 yards to 200 yards at the most. 1 touchdown, probably 2 turnovers.
The one thing you talked about how all these other quarterbacks have started outside of Jared Goff, true.
A couple of them by injury.
Hogan, Brissett, stuff like that. You've come in like that. You've also had Dak Prescott, who has the greatest offensive line maybe in the history of the NFL, and Ezekiel Elliott helping him out. And Carson Wentz, we've seen outside of the first couple of games, hasn't been the same kind of dude. So it's one of those things where, all these other quarterbacks have been playing, but it's not like they've been playing well, and the one that has a ridiculously talented offensive line.
I agree. So we'll have to wait and see. Obviously, we'll update on Monday. Alex will be in the studio. Jeremiah, you are off next week for Thanksgiving.
I'm off the whole week.
You're going back home. You're going home. You're going home to Fresno with the Carr family.
Oh my God.
No? Okay. No. But anyways.
So don't ever do that again.
Okay. I promise you I won't. And then I do it next week. But anyways.
We'll do it when I'm not here.
We'll take our last break. After the break, we'll talk some college football after a crazy, crazy game last night and a crazy week last week. Maybe we'll see some more fireworks this week. Hopefully. I would love to talk about it. But anyways, we'll preview this weekend in college football right after the break at the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
We are back here on this Football Friday at the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast. Going to be talking some college football. We had the crazy game last night between Louisville and Houston. We have UNLV against number 20 Boise State tonight at the Blue Turf in Idaho. And then kind of a down week in college football in my eyes. Not really any big, big marquee standout games where they're affecting some of the teams near the top part of the college football playoff rankings. But obviously some really important games. Teams are trying to put their best effort out there to impress the committee to try and rank them higher. I feel like the best game of the weekend is probably number 9 Oklahoma on the road against number 14 West Virginia. I mentioned it in the earlier part of the segment when we talked about Louisville. Oklahoma being that one team that can maybe, just maybe squeak in if some teams falter ahead of them. They're unbeaten in the Big 12 at 7-0, 8-2 overall. Their losses to Ohio State, which is honestly a good loss. Ohio State, a really good team. And then Houston, who we saw what they did last night against Louisville. So not like they're losing to any team that's absolutely terrible, but a couple of losses kind of puts you out. The Big 12 not having a conference title game really hurts. But they could be that one team, like I said, maybe if they get some quality victories to squeak in. I like them over West Virginia. Baker Mayfield's been playing fantastic lately. They're riding high, really just running through everybody in this conference. So I don't really have much of a faith in West Virginia. Kind of that team that hasn't really beaten anyone in my eyes. So I'll go with the Sooners.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. I think I might have to go with Oklahoma, too. I really want to root for Western Michigan here. I mean, Western Michigan.
Well, I want to root for them, too. But
I mean, not Western Michigan and West Virginia. I don't know why I said Western Michigan. But, you know, they Baker Mayfield has been playing really consistent as well lately. And, you know, when you go to West Virginia, yeah, they haven't really beat anybody. But, you know, they still are a very good team on offense. But the fact that Oklahoma has more quality wins, they look like a more quality team to me. I'm going to have to go with Oklahoma as well. And I kind of do think they're good enough to squeak by in the playoffs. Like, I know it's a long shot for them, but I think there's like a very slim chance. Like Jim Carrey said on Dumb and Dumber, so he's saying there's a chance.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yeah. Dude, that's the thing with Oklahoma. Like, Oklahoma does Oklahoma things. And what I say about Oklahoma things is they lost two of the first three games. And everyone's like, oh, my God, Oklahoma's terrible. You lost to Houston. How do you lose to Houston? And they lost to Ohio State. But those two losses, at least Ohio State, it's like, okay, yeah, cool, that's fine. It's Ohio State. Houston now, it's kind of like, it's fine, whatever. Like, we're not going to, you know, get as mad at you about that. But since you beat TCU when they were ranked, since then, you know, now you're going to face West Virginia and Oklahoma State these last 2 weeks. And I was talking to you about this in the sports podcast, which is basically you don't see a team because you got to make it to the top four, right, to make the playoffs. Right now, Oklahoma is 9th, and West Virginia is 14th, and West Virginia is not going to go from 14th to 4th, right? That's not how you kind of move up in the college football rankings. Like, you don't just jump 10 spots all of a sudden. Like, the biggest jump was LSU, which went from 24th to 16th. But there you can kind of move up and down and whatever. But you can't do that as far as moving – from the top, call it 15 to the top four. But you look at Oklahoma, they're at ninth right now, right? And if they win this week against a ranked team, maybe they go up to sixth. And then if they win again, maybe they go up to fourth. Like, you slowly creep your way up there, because we've seen the committee hates Washington. And the only other team that I would – because basically, if you have two losses, I basically don't count you as a chance to basically make it to the playoffs outside of Oklahoma, because it's a ranked team, or because it's a – what do you call it? Like a flashy team. Like, it's a historically
They're kind of like a brand.
Yeah.
In college football, yeah.
Them and Wisconsin is the only other team, because Wisconsin's two losses are to Michigan and Ohio State, both by only 7 points. So those two losses, it's like, you know, you did everything you could. And the week before that, you faced Michigan State when they were ranked. Ranked eighth and beat them. And the 2 weeks after that, you face Nebraska, who was ranked seventh at the time, and you beat them. So those are the only two teams I could say possibly moving up. Everybody else, including West Virginia, that only has one loss, they're basically just not, like, they're just basically playing each other to get into a better bowl game.
It's possible with Oklahoma. I think it's a long shot. You'd have to have a lot of things play out. The Big Ten has been so good. You have four in the top eight. One of them is going to lose between Michigan and Ohio State. Penn State are still lurking. Wisconsin are going to be on that other side of the bracket in the Big Ten title game, most likely, unless they sort of falter. So it'd be a long shot, but, I mean, some chance is better than no chance.
Right.
All they can really worry about is themselves and keep winning. A tough game this week, tough game next week against Oklahoma State, which is another ranked team, currently 11th. So you have a couple of good marquee wins. Could possibly be within the top 10 next week, Oklahoma State. So, I mean, they're kind of just, like, trying to slowly build their resume and kind of lasting impressions, are doing it all at the end of the year, which you kind of look at, like, power rankings with this committee. Maybe they squeak in. I feel like they're that one team that's kind of like the dark horse. We've had a couple of teams in the past, Auburn, then they lost. Penn State are kind of there. Wisconsin's kind of there. I think you have to throw Oklahoma's hat into that ring as well, but... Florida is number 23. They will be on the road taking on number 16, LSU. Probably one of the best matchups in the top 25 as well. LSU playing fantastic under Ed Orgeron. Just the one loss to Alabama, which was 10-0. So they didn't get killed against the best team in the country either. I think LSU are, like I said, playing fantastic. Their offense looks so much better. Florida, absolute legit defense. But I just don't have enough faith in their offense to win on the road against LSU.
Okay. So, yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you on there, too. You know, LSU is just look like they look like a better team. Remember, this is a game that was rescheduled from October 8th as well. So, you know,
yeah, with Hurricane
that,
Matthew.
That was probably going to be like a totally different game from what we're seeing now. But I'm going to have to take the edge to LSU. They did struggle against Alabama a couple of weeks ago. But, you know, they still got Leonard Fournette, who I think is one of the – probably arguably the best running back in college football. And, yeah, pretty much that's all I have to say. And plus, they're at home, so. Yeah.
Give the edge to the Tigers.
To Tigers, yes.
Oddly enough, Leonard Fournette's not the leading rusher on the team.
I know.
He's missed some games.
Well, he's missed a lot of games, though.
Fair. That's so. A fair point.
He did have three touchdowns last week.
Yeah, and so. Basically his whole thing is he plays really well against Alabama. Really well, except for Alabama.
I know that Alabama's the only team that has
his
number.
I don't think many people play well against Alabama.
Right. That's the thing. And I saw today, basically, Brian Kelly, I think it was basically complaining to Nick Saban. Because Nick Saban's basically, because he's a guy in college football that basically recruits everybody and gets all the great players and then go to the pros and he gets more great players and he just reloads like that. What he's basically done, Saban has, is basically to get his team ready.
He's recruiting his old players to join his
scout
team, like Trent Richardson and Blake Sims.
Yeah, to help them out. He puts Blake Sims to basically have him get ready for Trevor Knight. He has Trent Richardson do it to prepare for Leonard Fournette, and everyone else is kind of like, that doesn't seem like a legit thing, and Saban's just like, yeah.
Surprisingly, this is not illegal. Surprisingly,
I know, right?
This is legal. Of all the little nitpicking things that the NCAA does,
yeah,
you would think this is the one thing that would not be in the rules to do, but
well,
it helps.
It helps out the great teams more than anything else, right? Because something like University of Miami. Let's bring back people like, you know, Andre Johnson.
Let's bring back Willis McGahee.
Let's bring back Ray Lewis. Let's bring back all these dudes that have played in the past. Even right now, let's bring Jimmy Graham in as a tight end to see how he can do, you know, against other teams' tight ends. Like, they would be the ones, Alabama, Michigan, Ohio State. Like, you bring back all these guys to basically help out. And, yeah, the NCAA doesn't seem to care about that, which, like you said, it's kind of weird because they seemingly care about everything. Going back to the LSU game, Orgeron's basically been a guy that's kind of righted the ship. You know, they didn't have any legit, I guess you would call it, wins before when they had Les Miles. Now, you know, they look like the team that's, you know, you're going to have a tough stretch, you know, to finish out the year. But if LSU can do what they've been doing and basically stay the course with Florida and Texas A&M, now you've got wins against three teams, Arkansas, Florida, and Texas A&M, who were all ranked at the time. You get those three wins along with Mississippi. Yeah, you lost to Alabama, but again, it's Alabama, and there's no shame in losing to them, basically. You got to think that Orgeron comes back. And I'm going to go with you. I'm going to go with LSU.
Yeah, they look like they're playing for him. They do.
I think that's probably the reason they need to make him their head coach on a full-time basis next year. Obviously, you have the threat of Tom Herman. You have maybe Jimbo Fisher with Florida State. But they're playing for Orgeron, and I think they really have his respect, and they're playing for him, as you mentioned. I think they need to make him their full-time coach. I think he's deserved it. The one loss to Alabama, I don't really give much, you know, of a consideration to. They only lost 10-0. That's been Alabama's closest, really, game all year.
Well, I also want to give the edge to LSU because, you know, if you look at their schedule lately, they have a little more quality wins.
Exactly.
Than Florida has.
And I think for Orgeron, I think he needs to be their coach. I think.
And they give Alabama probably their toughest game the entire year.
So. Right. I think this is a good week in the Pac-12, guys. So we have a couple of rivalry games. We have Stanford and Cal, so the battle of the Big Axe. We have the battle of L.A., UCLA, and USC. We have Washington State, number 22, on the road to face number 10, Colorado. A good week for the Pac-12.
Yeah, probably the best week I have seen in a while. The one intriguing matchup that I want to see is Washington State at Colorado. You know, I'm not going to give Colorado a chance to make the playoffs. I can't.
So Colorado goes unbeaten, they will be in the Pac-12 title game.
They will.
And if they beat Washington,
honestly, though,
you wouldn't give them a shot?
Colorado?
Yeah.
No. I think Washington is the cream of the crop here in this.
What if they beat Washington in the Pac-12 title game, though?
If they happen to beat Washington in the Pac-12 title game. Okay, they will have to win this game first against Washington State, and that's not going to be easy. Washington State is actually pretty legit. I kind of think they're underrated in this top 25 rankings.
It seems like I kind of feel bad for Washington State as well. They're unbeaten in the Pac-12, which is pretty good.
Yeah, they're very underrated. I get it, and I get why they're ranked that low, but then again, they're better than what their ranking is, in my opinion.
But it's like, I kind of feel bad for them because it's like, they get in the top 25, it's like, oh, we're finally ranked. And then we keep winning, and we're like, 24, 23, 23. They're winning, but they're not moving.
They don't climb. So this is a very important game for Washington State as well, because if they win this game, they can potentially move up even higher. So if Colorado does win this game, and then and if they happen to beat Washington, the Pac-12 championship, and they happen to beat Utah in the last week of the season, that's actually three quality wins there. So,
that's exactly my point.
Okay,
it's gonna be interesting.
Okay, so if they win this game and then Utah next week and they go to the Pac-12 championship, maybe I can see a chance. But I don't know. I just feel like the committee doesn't really like the Pac-12.
Yeah.
I don't think they do.
They love the Big Ten.
We've seen it. Washington is probably they're a really good team. But we've seen when the first the rankings come out, they put Washington at 6.
I'm going to just kind of play devil's advocate here because I feel like a little different. I don't think the committee hates the Pac-12. I think the committee's not sold on Washington. If you look at the Pac-12 in general, you have Washington at 6. You have Utah 12. You have USC within there. You have Colorado at 10. Washington State at 22. Stanford 24. The Pac-12 is not terrible.
There's a lot of ranked teams in there. I'm not saying it is. I think it's better than it has been in years. I'm saying I don't think the committee is sold on any of these teams.
I agree with that.
Yeah, that's the thing. The committee doesn't like the Pac-12. And what we just talked about as far as teams moving up, yeah, they're 10th. They can do the whole thing where they slowly creep up into the top four, but you also have to pass the two teams that we thought – had a possibility of making the top four, which was Wisconsin and Oklahoma. Now, if everybody loses and it's total chaos, then, yeah, there's a chance. But there's too many teams that they have to.
Yeah, I think Wisconsin and Oklahoma have a better chance than Colorado. Washington has a better chance than Colorado. It's going to be tough for me to put Colorado in the playoffs. They have to have teams lose, and they have to win literally three straight times.
They do, yeah. But, I mean, anything can happen. We saw 2-3-4 lose last week first time in over 30 years.
And if Colorado happens to get into the playoffs, hypothetically, I still can't give them a chance.
They were beating Michigan in the Big House earlier in the season.
But they
were
playing Alabama. Alabama is a whole different monster.
I know. I'm just saying.
They will play like the final boss battle, like the first level. Like, that's not fair.
I'm just trying to make their case, kind of build their case.
It's legit. I do think we have to consider Colorado coming up as well, because they have a pretty good schedule that favors them if they happen to win out.
Definitely. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. It's going to be a great weekend in sports, college football in particular. Like I said, no real big marquee games, but we've had the last few weeks a top team losing. We had number 4 Texas A&M lose, the craziness of last week. So we'll have to see if there's any fireworks this week. Anything is possible. We always see upsets, always see surprises. So we'll have to wait and see. But anyways, we'll update you on Monday with what happens in the college football landscape. Do a kind of a recap of the new AP poll, which in my eyes is kind of irrelevant now because we look at the college football playoff. But anyways, we'll talk about it and more right here at the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast. But guys, we are going to be ending our show for the day. I feel like we had a great show.
Talked a lot of good segments. It was the best show. Way to go out with the bang.
Well, for you, but I mean.
And for the week.
Exactly. So there we go. But anyways, my name is Ben.
I'm Jeremiah.
Hey, I'm Anthony.
And for Alex, who is not here today, we are signing off at the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast. Hope you have a great weekend. Enjoy your football. We will be back on Monday to talk about it at the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast. Bye, guys.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.